Thank you. have the Holy Ghost, which is in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul says, but not those things move me, neither can I write dear unto myself. So now I finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace. Lord, we bless you today. Lord, we thank you for being in your presence. Lord, we thank you for being a symbol in the house of God to hear a word from you. And Lord, may it rise at this time that except you send the word. Lord, except you send your anointing. Lord, except you send your spirit. Lord, except you walk through the aisles. Lord, walk through the pews and search the hearts and minds of the people to send an answer for their needs. All of our labors in vain. For this call, Lord, we ask you to send a word. Lord, speak to some wayward mind. Lord, speak to some mind, hallelujah, that's on the verge of giving up. Lord, speak to some soul. Lord, God, in the name of Jesus, that's discouraged. Send a word to heal. Lord, send a word to deliver, and send a word to set free. And we thank you that that's what we are going to do. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody says something down inside of me. Anybody got something down inside of them? Something down inside of me telling me to. Boy, you got something down inside of me telling me to what? Okay. Anybody got something down on the inside telling you to go ahead in spite of everything that's taking place? I said, God, be his name, a good God. God is a way maker, hallelujah, and God can do anything but fail. Amen. How many are glad to be in the service? One more time. You know, the devil is so shrewd. He tries to make everything on the outside of church seem glamorous. When everything on the outside of church is taking you away from God. The devil uses every distraction. He uses everything he can to keep our minds distracted so that we cannot keep our focus on Jesus. He does everything in his power to make us doubt God. Amen. And you know, many times it's sad to say he uses people to be friends. He uses things that's the closest to you to make you doubt God. But God is a good God. Well, Paul, here in the 20th chapter, he's been through one hardship after another. What I like about Paul is Paul didn't allow anything to discourage him because he had a mind to do for God. But Paul had been through ups, he'd been through downs. In the Philippians, the 3rd chapter, said he was in all kinds of dangers. He was in dangers of his brethren, he was in dangers of the enemy, he was in dangers of everybody. Everywhere he looked, he said he had nothing but trouble. But Paul said, those things that were gained to me, I count them loss, that I might win Christ. I wonder how many today count some stuff lost that has been preventing you from getting to Christ. Paul said, yes, I have a whole lot of accolades. I've had a lot of accomplishments. He said, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness of God, which is through faith. Impossible to be right with God if you don't have faith. Paul said, all that I could have been. Yes, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Yes, circumcised the eighth day. Yes, I was a stock, hallelujah, picture. He said, if that don't mean nothing to me, the only thing that counts is that I want to win Christ. Do we have anybody in this afternoon for testimony? All that other stuff don't count. I got to win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That's such a big secret. He said, you know what? I'm going to do a whole lot of stuff to be right for myself. He said, but I just want to be right in the eyes of God. Amen. Back to this 22nd verse. Paul says, which we're going to get our message out of. Paul said, now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. But the one thing I do know is that the Holy Ghost has witnessed in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me here. I wonder how many of us could have been appalled, knowing that we're going to go through some hardship, but we're still perfectly going to do for God. So our message today is this beginning of the 27th verse. It says, I'm bound in the spirit. Not in my spirit, not in somebody else's spirit, not in somebody else's opinions, not in somebody else's thought, not in pleasing somebody else, but today, are you bound in the spirit? And if you want to have a subtitle to be bound in the spirit, it's my conviction and not my preference. So I'm bound in the spirit, but what is it? It's my conviction and not you know, sometimes when you read the word of God, sometimes some of the words just jump out at you. What does it mean to be bound in the spirit? The Greek word that they use for bound means that you're compelled or driven by a conviction, and it's under the power or auspices of God. So when you're bound, you're driven by a conviction, and you're under the auspices of the control. Today I wonder how many of us are really driven in our salvation by a conviction, and it's not only auspices and power of God. Are we driven today, hallelujah, by a preference? So we're going to break it down to explain what is the difference between a preference and a conviction. Amen. When you're bound by a conviction, you'd be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Amen. I hate when that happens, but I guess the devil just don't want. How you have all the singing all right when you get to the word of God? Always miss with my mic. That's all right.
Amen. When you're driven by conviction, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what, Kevin? We're not careful to answer you in this manner. You're asking us to deny God and to serve something else. They said, we're not careful. Even if we have to go through the fire furnace we're doing, and we won't turn our back on God. A conviction is Daniel when he went and when he went to Babylon. Now, listen to conviction. A lot of times we think that when we compromise, we're on a game. When you compromise, you lose every time. Because your compromise is saying, I have more confidence in man than God. So every time we compromise, we say we don't have confidence that God can and will deliver us. When the Babylonians had taken the Jews to Babylon, and they tried to get them to eat the foods that were prepared for idols, the Bible said that Daniel had purpose in his heart. That's a conviction. When you purpose in your heart that I'm not going to defile myself with anything that will displease God, that's a conviction. So let me give you a definition of preference. Preference is a strong belief, a belief that you are persuaded by God. But the difference between a preference and a conviction is this. A preference will change under the right circumstances. When you live by preference, under the right circumstances, your preference will change. Amen. And one of the main things that causes our preference to change is if we feel as though we are under peer pressure. Amen. We're not fitting the typical mold. We're not like everybody else. It says that that's a preference because that means we will change our belief system because of peer pressure. Another thing that causes us to change when we have a preference and our devotion and worship of God, if we have family pressure. Anybody got some family pressure? You just get God way off. You got it everywhere. Now, family pressure will reveal whether you have a conviction or a preference. Because when you get family pressure, you change your belief towards God. Another thing that causes us to change, if someone gives us the threat of If you don't turn your back on God, if you don't turn your back on the Lord, then I'm going to do this. So in prayer, you say, whoa, if I'm going to lose my life, I'm going to change. Another thing that causes us to change, when we have a preference, if we feel as though we're going to have some financial loss, or we want to lose something, we change our belief system for God. That is a preference. A preference.
The Lord. That's what I like so much about God. When everybody else turned their back,
said, whatever was necessary for you for salvation, he said, I've given it to you. He said, now, I know that I'm going to Jerusalem. And I know there's a whole lot of things awaiting me in Jerusalem. He said, but none of these things move me. When you live in my conviction, you name them things.
All right.
Everybody has some different things in their life right
now. All right. Amen.
All of us have some different things.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, therefore, the God in Christ Jesus is going to suffer some persecution. And he says, many of the afflictions of the righteous. So all of us got some different things.
Amen.
Right? But are those things moving you?
Jesus.
Paul said, none of those things move me. He said, you know what? Ain't gonna charge you.
But God just put that little line in the middle of all the poems going through. You would think, why? Why did God instruct it in that little way? So he said, so you hear them?
They are.
Line for line, precept for one precept. If God can speak through them for a time, come on,
amen. All right.
Yes. Nice. How do you speak to Baal? If he can speak to a donkey that don't even have a voice, ain't no charge. God can speak to anyone. So I don't limit anyone, anything. The Bible said Anna, when they were waiting for Jesus, she stayed in the temple during the office of the priest. Well, what is she doing in the temple? No charge. Let's keep on. Well, anyway, ninth verse, he had four daughters and they get prophesied. He said, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hand and feet and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews that, and we read, Paul had already turned Jesus going away to Jerusalem. He said, I know bonds and afflictions abide me. That was the 20th chapter. Now the 21st verse, 20th chapter said, the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girl and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. It says, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place, we saw him not to go to Jerusalem. You would think that they supposed to go out and Paul had already said he was bound out in the spirit, which meant he was under the leading of God. God was directing him.
Yes.
They knew this. But people, you got to watch people. Even when God gives you something, somebody's going to test you. I wouldn't be nosy and go somewhere, but I can go out there. I'm going to stay right in line. Now, if I go somewhere, y'all are all over the wild in your mind. Just stay with God. Just stay with God. Because somebody's going to always test your resolve. Somebody's going to always test your spiritual resilience. You see, are you really in this for God? Or are you in this for yourself? Always will be a test. Amen. But let's just keep going on anyway. Say, when we heard these things, both we and they are in place. We saw him not to go to Jerusalem. So what they were telling Paul, said, Paul, listen to us and forget about God. This is what they were talking about, Paul. Listen to us. Forget about God and forget about what the Spirit told you to do. How many times have people told you that? How many times have people tried to enforce you that way? Forget about God and listen to what I'm telling you to do. Hang on. I couldn't go that way. Verse 13. Then Paul answered and said, what mean ye to me and to bring? Paul said, wait a minute. You know what God told me to do. And I'm doing what God told me to do. He said, why are you trying to weep and break my heart? I'm not doing what God told me to do out of any preference. I'm not doing it, not realizing that I'm going to suffer some losses. But I'm being obedient unto God because I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. But I want to do what God has called me to do. So Paul said, why are you trying to weep and break my heart? Why are you putting me all this emotional duress? Why are you calling me all these problems? I'm still going for God.
Amen.
Paul refused to let tears stop. He refused to let all those that were persuading him to do opposite of what God asked him to do stop him. Paul said, no. Don't try to break my heart. He said, don't try to persuade me. Amen. First, the latter part said, he said, for I'm not ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. A confession said, I don't care what it takes. As long as I'm doing it for God, I'll do it. A preference said, But if one of those ducks get out of line, I got nothing to do for God. Paul said, you know what? I don't care what's in line. I don't care what's out of line. I purpose that I'm going to do for God. Even if it costs me my life, I'm going to do for God. Paul didn't allow what he was going through in his life to deter him from doing what God called him to do. He said, I want to finish my course with what? Joy. Right? And the scripture says, when the Lord said, well done, thy good and faithful servant, he's going to say, enter thee into the Lord. If you speak of God, God has given us the promise that we want to enter into the joy of the Lord. Somebody said, why is my life so messed up and confused? Because you're living on a compromise. Your life is a preference. It is not a conviction. Amen. Because when everybody else starts doing it, guess what? You all do it. If everybody else won't live right, never before in the history of the church has so many turned their back on God because everybody else is messing up. If you do it right, why are you worried about everybody else? That's why the scripture said, looking unto
Jesus.
As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, let a million people fail. You won't fail because your eyes lost confidence in God because of people. God uses people to test you. Let me get to this. I'll get to our last scripture before it gets too late. It says, when he would not be
persuaded,
he was sent. Anybody sent? When you're sent, that means I'm planning. If nothing you can do is going to stop me. The wind may blow. The storms may come. It's going to be like that. Amen. So when Moses, if they leave up on God. Right? Things get hard, we get mad at God. So when Moses goes to them, they go to Moses, they're upset. They said, Moses, you just leave us alone and let us do what we're going to do because of a temporary setback. That brings us up to chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a God already said I'm going to deliver them. He said, now with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his hand, out of his land. And God spake to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He said, but by my name Jehovah will I not know. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I also heard the groanings of the children of Israel. God said, I heard your cry. Anybody been praying? Anybody been crying out to God? God said, I heard your cry. Just because it seemed like it didn't work, God said, I still heard. He said, I heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. One thing about God, God will never forget a promise that he's made unto you. Because the scripture says all the promises of God are yea and amen. There's no ambiguity with God's promises. If God has made you a promise,
as we all stand and the elders and the ministers come forward.
Today, are we saved on a conviction? Are we saved based on a preference? If things don't go your way, will you stay with God? If your friend acts up, will you stay with God? If family acts up, will you stay with God? If you lose some things, it's only a test. God told the children of Israel, he said, I allowed you to suffer in the wilderness. He said, I allowed you to go hard. I allowed you to go through all this because I want to prove you to know what was in your heart. Our hardships are only a test to reveal what's in our hearts. Will we make a stand for God, but things don't walk in, or will we fail?